Welcome to Resounds, Arts and Culture on the High Plains. I'm Corby Skinner.
And I'm Jennifer Corning, and we're sharing stories of creative people who live and work in the Intermountain West. Bozeman Symphony has been presenting live music to the surrounding communities since the late 1960s. Over the past 5 decades, the Symphony Orchestra found a performance home in the Wilson Auditorium, developed an outreach program bringing chamber music to rural communities, and expanded its musical education program. The orchestra is growing in its regional impact under the guidance of the Board of Directors and Music Director, Norman Nguyen. With us in the studio today, Maestro Nguyen and Vice Chair Ken May.
Gentlemen, welcome to Resounds. Hello to you, Norman and Ken.
Thank
Hello.
You.
Ken, let's start with you. And I'd like to have a little background on the Bozeman Symphony. I mean, the organization's been around for 57 years, is that correct?
That's correct.
Tell us a little bit of the history.
History goes back to actually MSU, the university in Bozeman. Started off as really a part of the music program that evolved through the professors, the teachers, the students, and then became a, let's call it a small community orchestra that then grew over time. And Norman probably has a better, more recent history than I do, but that's really its beginnings and then evolved to where we are today, which is a full orchestra and choir.
And I've heard rumors that there's plans, maybe both of you gentlemen will be able to talk about this a little later in the interview, about trying to maybe build a symphonic hall in Bozeman.
You can talk about this one, Ken.
there's been a project for the past 30 years to do exactly that. And there's been a resurgence of interest from the community. There was a steering committee that was formed a few years ago. There's an actual organization, 501c3, which has been formed. I'm on the board of that as well. And we're looking to see, we're mobilizing to do exactly that, build a new concert hall, in fact, a center for the performing arts. And that's all I can say right now. We're in the silent phase of that, so as these things go, but we have high hopes.
I know that last week there were 2 sold-out shows in Bozeman. It seems like it's time for a new performing arts hall. Norman, you've been the music director since 2020, and rumor has it you've just signed up for 5 more years mm-hmm. with the Bozeman Symphony Orchestra. Share your background in music. What was the evolution from the euphonium to maestro to music director?
Sure. Well, how much time do we have? No, I'm kidding. So I grew up in a household that didn't have classical music. My parents are immigrants. My mom is from Taiwan. My dad's a refugee from Vietnam. And they came and opened a restaurant in Montgomery, Alabama, a Chinese buffet restaurant. So I was actually growing up, running around the restaurant, hiding under tables, helping to fix orders and taking cash from customers and busting tables and stuff like that. Around middle school, I picked up the trombone. And then one thing led to the next. It was a very easy instrument for me to grasp. Went to college to study music education at the University of Alabama. Found Gustav Mahler's Symphony No. 2. That entered my life for the first time, so hearing that piece made me switch my entire trajectory from wanting to be a band director to being an orchestral conductor, and ended up going to the Peabody Conservatory of Music for orchestral conducting, and then was lucky to get my first job up in Maine as assistant conductor, and then moved to the West Coast in 2016 to the other Portland, Oregon, and in 2020, actually 2019, December of 2019, I came to participate in the music director search with the Bozeman Symphony, and I had never heard of Bozeman before. Flew in, was swept away by the mountains and the charm, and was really grateful to have gotten the job and been named music director. So that's kind of the short story of how that happened.
That's so interesting. It's a great evolution. And looking at your past, you also have a very eclectic interest in music. You have conducted everything from Baroque to pops, mm-hmm. even film scores. Do you have a favorite period, favorite composer that you'd like to share with us?
Growing up in a family without classical music, right, we were listening to the top 20 radio station. So it's been really fun to have worked with artists like Gladys Knight and Smokey Robinson from my parents' time, and growing up with films like E.T. and Jurassic Park. So to be able to do that live with an orchestra is almost a really dream come true. But I really fell in love with the classical music repertoire, the music of Beethoven, Brahms, Mozart, Mahler, Shostakovich, Prokofiev. And if I lean towards a genre of music, it is towards those great masterworks of orchestral pieces, the symphonic repertoire. But the reason why I do everything, and because a lot of conductors will, you know, kind of go one route and only do the classics or only do the pops side. For me, music is music, right? A piece of music by Beethoven could move anyone the same way that a song by Adele could, right? And so if it's good music, I'm interested. And if it has an orchestra, I'm interested. And I love it.
How do you choose your compositions? And how do you choose your soloists?
That's a great question. How I think about putting a program together is I think, what's the big symphony or the big concerto that we can put on this program that is going to be attractive to our audience to come to? Like, we just did Rachmaninoff's third piano concerto and had two sold-out shows. Everyone loves that piece of music. So what I get to do is, if we have a piece of music that is popular or that kind of everyone knows, Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, right? I can program something that's a little less familiar, maybe a work by a living composer or a concerto that some people may have not heard of before, because the goal is to attract people with the popular piece of music, and then hopefully they'll leave talking about the piece of music they had never heard before, or we had just given them opened them up to a whole new sound world or composer to explore on their own. So that's kind of how I pick music. And with soloists, a combination of soloists that I've worked with in the past before, or soloists that I've probably, with YouTube and social media these days, right, we have access to anyone around the world to hear how they sound. If there's someone I think, oh my gosh, Bozeman would really love to see this person perform live, we'll try to make that happen.
Norman, I'm on the board of the Montana Chamber Music Society with Angela Ahn,
yes,
and
Angela.
Elsa Marie, yep. And several other. Well, in fact, I think I'm the only one that's not from Bozeman, but I know what a really wonderful music department there is in Bozeman. Baroque Montana is also based in Bozeman.
Yep.
I'm wondering about your relationship as a conductor with the musicians. And where do the musicians come from? Are part of them university, part of them community? Can you speak to putting together actual players for the symphony?
Yes. This is can be a hot topic for us. So our relationship with the musicians who live in Bozeman and Montana is I'd say pretty strong. Our orchestra is comprised of about 70% local musicians who live and work in Bozeman, and about 30% who live outside of Bozeman or from the region like Idaho or Utah, sometimes California or Washington or Oregon. Now, the reason for that is because the symphony orchestra, it's very important that you have a large string section. A lot of the repertoire that you play requires that amount of forces. And it's really hard to find string players in Montana. If you look on the roster of the Billings Symphony or the Bozeman Symphony, Helena, Missoula, there are some musicians who play in all of those orchestras. And a lot of times we have concerts on the same weekend, like this past weekend. So if we want to have something that's larger than a chamber orchestra, we have to look beyond our state. And that's proven to be a good model for us. Our goal is to eventually to be able to offer a living salary and wage to a core orchestra to attract and keep musicians in Montana. That way we have a thriving community of musicians in our state that not only plays with us in Bozeman, but that can be shared with the other orchestras and just help the music scene in Montana.
Ken, I'm interested in how the symphony has attracted the community. You just had two sold-out shows for the beginning of your season. How do you go about engaging the Bozeman community?
Well, first of all, it starts with Norman, of course, our music director and conductor. He's well-known in the community. He's been here with us for almost four years now and planning to be here quite a bit longer. He's a figure which people know him in Bozeman. He's very much part of the community. So that's very important. And I should go back to the days of the pandemic or of COVID. That's a time when all the performing arts companies really, you know, had a difficult time. And as you're probably aware, across the nation, many of the performing arts companies actually decreased in terms of their overall business and subscriptions, single ticket sales and so on, and were dipping into their endowments. On the other hand, here in Bozeman, we grew. In fact, we've grown three times since the size we were before the pandemic struck. That's a great tribute to Norman, the orchestra and the choir, but also Jacob Blazer, who's our executive director, arrived about that time and has really developed a top-notch team, both on the marketing side, but also on the personnel side, all aspects of the administration of the symphony. And that's allowed us to really go out for the first time and market intelligently and effectively and efficiently and get our message out. On top of that, the enthusiasm within the orchestra itself, the musicians, it is a community orchestra to some degree. So therefore, our musicians are, you know, are very enthusiastic and they tell their story with their friends in their community.
Norman, you arrived just in time to hit COVID
right.
in Bozeman.
Oh, yeah.
How did you go about continuing your work during those years?
Well, it was definitely difficult. I feel like I grew, I had to grow very quickly as a music director. It was my first music director role. So we just had to think outside of the box a little bit. We had this series, created a series called the Ranch Around series, where we went to these beautiful properties around Bozeman and played some chamber music outdoors in the summertime. Bozeman City itself had some very strict laws, and so the limit of amount of people that could be inside was very small. So we did chamber orchestra, strings only, nobody in the audience. We live streamed those performances. But what was really great about that time period, you know, there's always a silver lining, is that we were able to kind of deep dive into the organization a bit and start planting the seeds for what our next couple of seasons would look like, what we needed, where were the areas of growth that we needed, and be able to start the process of sort of transforming the Bozeman Symphony into the kind of organization that we are today.
Good evening. You are listening to Resounds, Arts and Culture on the High Plains. Tonight we are hearing from Bozeman Symphony's music director, Norman Huynh, and board vice chair, Ken May, about the Symphonic Orchestra and its goals for the Gallatin Valley and beyond.
Ken, this question goes to you. What are the goals for the board of directors of the Bozeman Symphony? And then I'm very interested if those same goals match well with the music director. So, Ken, why don't you start? And then, Norman, you can comment on that.
Okay.
The goals of the board obviously are the one and the same as the music director and executive director. We developed our mission as well as our vision for the future. But in a few short words, it's really about bringing live symphonic music to Montanans and those who live outside Montana and beyond, as we say. We believe it enriches everyone's lives. It adds perspective and depth to their lives. It brings new influences and brings, most importantly, joy, warmth, and we think love, you know, in a general sense, to their everyday lives. So that's really, in broad terms, our mission. And what we do as a board is really do everything we can, from raising money, helping to raise funds, to helping hire, helping to provide resources of any type to the staff, to the music director and executive director.
Yeah, I'd say that's, in a nutshell, what our goals are. For the next 5 years, we've laid out this vision for the Bozeman Symphony. A couple of those key points that we want to focus on at the top of that list is paying our musicians more. Montana, as a state, has the lowest paid musicians anywhere in the country. And then I don't know if you saw recently in a couple of news outlets that Montana ranks the lowest in housing affordability in the entire nation. So when you have that combination, it's really hard to be a musician in Montana, and solely a musician, and to make an income and to live here. So that's one of our key things. Second is to expand our community and education efforts. We just, I think, tripled what we do in our community outside the concert hall last season, and doing even more this year. But we really want to dive a little bit deeper and build relationships with communities that we don't see much in the music, classical music world. So we want to focus on building that. A couple of other things are strengthen the administration that we have, because we've seen that that has been very positive for us in terms of ticket sales and our fundraising efforts. And I'd say the final big thing is building a world-class performing arts center, concert hall, in Montana. And I think this is going to have a profound effect across the entire state. Imagine a festival where all the Montana symphonies come together and play this in this incredible room in acoustics that you can't find here. You'd have to go to Europe or a major city to have. And I think we deserve something like that in Montana, this beacon, this lighthouse that says, you know, when you come to Montana, yes, you have incredible mountains and nature, and you can immerse yourself in the land here and the history. But we need something that says that's not all that Montana has to offer. We've got this rich cultural art scene here across the entire state. It's incredible that Missoula, Helena, Great Falls, Billings, Bozeman, and the Glacier Symphony, that there are these thriving symphonies across the state and doing really well. So we need to have a space that recognizes that. And that for me is what, it's one of the reasons why I signed on for another 5 years, I'm incredibly excited about the possibilities of something like that happening here.
Norman, I work for Tippett Rise, and there is a world-class performing arts space in Fishtail, Montana, but of course it only holds 125
people. Exactly. And for chamber music, right?
And very much chamber music, piano solo. Mm-hmm. So I understand what you mean. You've had a great deal of experience as a guest conductor, and you have conducted various symphonies, the St. Louis Symphony, the New York Philharmonic, the San Diego Symphony, and many more. Tell us about conducting on a new stage with new musicians and how you go about making that work.
Sometimes it could be very scary. It's almost like meeting someone for the first time that you could have a potential relationship with, a new friend, a new partner. Except on my end, it's with 80 people instead of just one. So if I'm coming into a place for the first time in a new space, in places like New York Phil, St. Louis, Minnesota, San Diego, I get excited about the space because I know those are incredible acoustics. And so to be able, and they have a rich history, right? The music directors that have been a part of the Minnesota Orchestra, Eugene Ormandy, Bernstein was almost music director there, Osmo Vanska. And so when I walk in front of them for the first time, I don't do anything different that I would do with any other week with the Bozeman Symphony. I go in, I make sure I am clear with my technique, that I'm communicating effectively and clearly, and then I'm creating an environment where the musicians on stage can do their best. And it ends up being a really positive experience, and I've gone back to those places multiple times, and I'm just very grateful that I get to have that kind of opportunity and to be able to live in Bozeman and have the Bozeman Symphony as well as a home base.
It has been written about you, if I may say, that you are one of classical music's most adventurous ambassadors. Tell me about that. How'd you get that moniker?
I believe it's the way that I program, and I incorporate a lot of new music by living composers in my programming. But on the other hand, one of the strengths that I recognize is the way that I connect with people from the podium on a concert. So when you come to a Bozeman Symphony concert, it's not come sit down in your seat, conductor walks out, play music, conductor leaves, walks back on and plays music. I speak about almost each piece and set the stage for what our audience is about to experience, how to listen to a specific piece. We may do some excerpts. Hey, like, check out this theme that comes in the horn. We just did Till Eulenspiegel, and I had Madeline, our principal horn, play the horn call from that in our E-flat clarinet, and I told our audience, okay, listen, these two melodies are going to get passed around across the orchestra, very much like a pickleball match, right? So I try to tie it into something people know. And listen for that, because it's very exciting when you know these two themes and how the composer interweaves it and plays around with these different sections and how the story comes to a close with the big snare drum in the courtroom scene. This is what this means. And that kind of active listening on the audience part makes the experience much more engaging for them. And there were parts in Till Eulenspiegel where when they heard that E-flat clarinet play across the piece, people were laughing because it's meant to be a joke. And they got it. They could hear it. And so that is very unusual, especially on the classical concerts. It's very rare that the conductor will talk about the piece. You usually just come and sit and listen. Oh man, I don't even know when to clap. Oh my gosh, I clapped. Well, I'm not supposed to clap. You know, so we really try to break down the barrier in what we do, in everything from even the program book that we have. You know, there's a graph of the orchestra and where the instruments sit. There's a timeline of each piece and where it lies in relationship to, so you can see a linear progression of music history and what you're listening to this season. So, you know, those are things that, not coming from a classical music background, I try to think, and growing up in Alabama, and what can I do to make this experience so that my mom would have a good time, or my best friend from high school and their parents? You know, I find that it's a lot of fun and to do something like that.
I am so glad to hear you say that. I remember booking one of the most famous string quartets in the world, and they performed at the Albert Aubert Theater, and they walked onto stage, they played intermission, they played, and they walked off. Not a word mm-hmm. was said. And I'm sure it was really good, but then I saw the On Trio, and they came onto stage and talked to the audience and told the audience what they were going to hear. It was so engaging. Mm-hmm. I brought them back the very next year, and the audience doubled in size.
Wow.
Because people want to know.
Yep.
Communication is so important. I think, though, the other aspect that you have that you're not letting us in on is that adventurous programming. You have done things from Harry Potter, American in Paris, things that are accessible to a broader range of audience. Do you want to talk about that sort of programming as a part of the symphony?
Yes. So prior to my arrival, the Bozeman Symphony did 6 classical concerts and 1 family and education concert. When I arrived, I was like, okay, we need to do something that where we're playing other genres of music, the popular programming. So we started a concert called the Holiday Spectacular, and there's a little bit of classical music, but it's usually filled with holiday favorites, but orchestral versions or with a guest artist, and the full, our incredible symphonic choir sings on it. And we found that, one, we've gone from 2 concerts to 3 concerts to 4 concerts in a season. Now we do 4 concerts of Holiday Spectacular because they're so popular. But the people come to that concert and then they become curious and interested about the rest of our programming. So they subscribe and they get little packages that we offer to come hear the classics. And then they hear me talk about the classical repertoire, as I was just saying. And then it sort of, then they become a full subscriber of the symphony and just come to everything that we do. So we're now not only expanded our classical programming, but we're doing more of, we call them our Bozeman Symphony Presents. So Holiday Spectacular. Another thing we're having is we have Kishibashi, who's a singer-songwriter, violinist, who's incredible, incredible music, and he has charts for orchestra. And, you know, there's more that I'd want to do, but we can't because of the constraints of our current venue being too small. But bringing films performed live with orchestra so that our audience can see a film like E.T. and hear the score live, or Jurassic Park, or the Star Wars series. It's just such a, or Disney in concert, right? There's all this music where people can experience the orchestra live and be moved by it, and then have a relationship with classical music and symphonic music that they hadn't had before because of the popular draw that they came to. So I guess, if you think adventurous, I guess that's adventurous, but for me, it's, you know, it's, I hope people have a similar experience to me when I first heard an orchestra for the first time, and that, yeah, maybe they won't go into and be a conductor or pick up an instrument, but now they know that there's all this music that's available to help them get through a tough time in their life, to help them celebrate a time in their life, and that's the power of symphonic music, and that's the power of the orchestra in particular.
Ken and Norman, thank you for coming to Billings and joining us for Resounds. We will have more information on our website about your season, a link to the website, and we are very excited to see the future of the Bozeman Symphony.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Resounds, Arts and Culture on the High Plains, produced by Corby Skinner, Jennifer Corning, and Ken Siebert for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music by Alex Nauman. Hear this program anytime online at ypradio.org.